John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I feel like I have a metronome there going. I know that I'm on a schedule, but really, this is actually a little bit ridiculous. It's all good. Pastor Matt and I, over the past few weeks, we have been talking about Christmas, obviously. And basically what we've been doing is we've been trying to, we just decided to talk about words. Just take a word that relates to Christmas, and then just talk about that, and then see where the scripture takes us. And so we talked about how Christmas is all about light. And last week, Pastor Matt talked about how Christmas is. I can't even take myself seriously here. It's in the monitor, I think. I don't know what they'd do without me. Pastor Matt talked about joy last week, and next Sunday we want to talk about what the word flesh means when you relate that to Christmas. This evening, though, just for a few minutes, what I'd like to do is talk about the word Word, because right at the beginning of John chapter 1, John gives us these really poignant verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so what I want to do, just for a couple of minutes here, is just from those two verses, what I'd like to give you just three observations, and then three implications that relate to Christmas. Because really, what we do every time that we come to a service like this is we sing songs, and we hear songs sung, and we look at the Word, and you come to Christmas, you come to church on Sundays, and you hear about what the real meaning of Christmas is. And we don't want to lose that tonight. We've already had that portrayed for us very soundly. But what I want you to understand is Christmas really is all about the Word. And in John chapter 1, in the first 14 verses, John gives us this description of really what Christmas is all about. And it kind of culminates in John chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But John doesn't start with John chapter 1, verse 14. He starts with John chapter 1, verse 1. And what John here is doing when he writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is really he's giving us this backstory of where Christmas really came from. And if we had a lot more time, we could explore what it is that John meant when he said, in the beginning was the Word, but for the sake of time, we're just going to skip to the understanding that when John said, in the beginning was the Word, in the Greek it's logos, he's meaning Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And so, when you take that verse, what I want you to notice first is when we think of Jesus, what John is telling us here is that Jesus always was. The Word always was. That's where John starts. In the beginning was the Word. The Word always was. He always was there. When you hear that phrase, in the beginning, you obviously think of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. John takes that phrase, and I think quite consciously, and he says, in the beginning, the Word. So what John is saying here is that in the beginning, when God created everything, the Word already was. He existed in the beginning. He existed before the beginning. He always was. So observation number one is Jesus always was. The Word always was. Here's observation number two. The Word was with God. The Word always was, and the Word was with God. We already know that He was in the beginning, and now we're told that He was with God in the beginning. He was with God. And what that does is actually two things. It tells us that there is a connection between the Word and God. There's a connection between Jesus and God. And it also tells us something else. It tells us that not only is there connection, but there's a distinction between the two. Don't rush by that. You can't be with yourself, right? You have to be with someone else. John is saying that somehow Jesus and God, both the Word and God, are linked. There's a connection, but somehow they're also distinct. So in the beginning was the Word. He always was. The Word was with God. He was there. He was with God. There's a connection between the two. There's a distinction between the two. God the Father, God the Son. Observation number two. Here's observation number three. The Word was God. The Word was God. Now, it seems absolutely ludicrous that we're just going to kind of brush by that, because there's a lot that we can talk about right there in this idea that to observe that the Word was God, to observe that Jesus was God, we live in a world where there's a good portion of the population that does not believe that. They believe Jesus. Some believe Jesus didn't exist. Some people believe that Jesus did exist, but he was just a good guy. He was a good teacher. He was wise. He was kind. But he was not God. There are religions out there that will vehemently preach against Jesus as God. But what John is saying here is, in the beginning was the Word. He always was. He was with God. There's a connection between the two, yet they're distinct. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can you just, for the sake of time, just go with me on that one? Can you just kind of take my word for it? Or better yet, take John's word for it. The Word was God. So in that verse, John gives us three observations. He wants you to know that Jesus always was. He wants you to know that Jesus was with God. There's a connection there. Two distinct persons, but they're linked. And then he wants you to know that Jesus was God. So, if you observe those three things, what are the implications? Implications this Christmas. Implications in the Christmases to come. Implications in the Christmases that have already happened. Let me give you three. The first thing is this.
If we consider in the beginning was the Word, if you take that idea and you run with it, then this is the implication. The implication is that Bethlehem wasn't the beginning for Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. We know that from verse 1. Bethlehem wasn't the beginning. This is he was there, but that wasn't the beginning for him. He was in the very beginning. A guy by the name of, a theologian by the name of Fred Saunders wrote a book called The Deep Things of God. And he said this. It's interesting that the four Gospels each begin by doing something or by going into something that is earlier than Bethlehem. Mark quotes from Isaiah. Matthew goes all the way back to Abraham with the genealogy. Luke traces back to Adam with the genealogy. And then John comes and he says, we even have to go earlier than that. Because Jesus' story didn't begin in Bethlehem. He was in the beginning. If you read Micah chapter 5, verse 2, this is what it says. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth from me one who is a ruler in Israel. Whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. You can take that word ancient days, and if you translate it just a little bit differently, it would be days of eternity. Here's the implication. Bethlehem wasn't the beginning. Jesus always was. Here's the implication number two. Before Jesus was God with us, like we've sung about tonight, before Jesus came as a little baby in a manger, before he was God with us, he was God with God. See, when it comes to this idea of Christmas, we love to celebrate the fact that Jesus is the Emmanuel, right? If you look at the Hebrew, Emmanuel, if you split up that word, Emmanuel, if you take the first part of it, Emmanuel, that means with us. And then if you take the El, which is short for Elohim, which means God in Hebrew, it means Emmanuel, God with us. But John here is saying, because he's saying that Jesus, before Jesus was ever God with us, he was already with God. He was God with God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And you know what that means? It means that in the Christmas story, it means that the Christmas story is grounded in the relationship that existed within the nature of God. The Christmas story is grounded in this eternal relationship. Sharing glory, sharing love that existed within the nature of God. And how that plays out at Christmas time. When God sent Jesus into the world, he sent him. I love this picture. When God sent Jesus into the world, he sent him out of an overflow of the love and the happiness that exists within the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God sent Jesus to be a part of our world to save us out of the overflow of his love. And that's an amazing thought to me. And when we understand that, when we understand that God had this overflow of love and it just spilled out, and through that spilling out, Jesus came, doesn't it make us look and view Christmas just a little bit differently? Here's implication number three. Jesus makes visible the invisible God. The Word was God.
You can see what God is like because Jesus, the Bible says, became flesh, and he was God. Jesus makes visible the God that we can't see, and he actually helps us to understand why John calls Jesus the Word here. And I think this is a really interesting point. John calls Jesus the Word because Jesus does what words do. Think about it. What does a word actually do? It communicates something, right? It reveals something. It makes something known. That's what we use words to do. We use words to communicate, to reveal something, to make something known. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He comes to communicate to us, you and to me. He comes to communicate what God is like. He comes to reveal and make known what God is like. Jesus is the personal Word of God. He's the living Word of God. He's the personal expression of who God is. And so what John is saying here essentially is, if you want to know who God is, then look at Jesus. You'd almost say something like, God is absolutely Christ-like. John 14, verse 8, Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. You remember how Jesus responded to him? He said this, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So here's how that affects Christmas. Would you like to know how God feels about you? Then look at how Jesus felt about people. I mean, have you ever felt marginalized? Have you ever felt insignificant? Then look at how Jesus dealt with people who were overlooked in life. Or how he looked at people who were sick. That's how God feels about you. Jesus is here not just to make it a wonderful story for us. And it is a wonderful story. It's even more wonderful because it's true. Jesus is here to tell us what God is like and to tell us how God feels about each and every one of us. Jesus is the living statement that God cares about you so much that he would come to earth to look for you. Jesus is the flesh and blood embodiment of the fact that God loves you so much that he was willing to lay down his life for you. God is so concerned for you that he's willing to take all of your sin and put it on himself. And Christmas is the overflow of that blessed and happy, joyous God who says, I have love within myself and I want to share that with those whom I have made. So my hope for you this Christmas is that you would say, if that's the way that God feels about me, if Jesus is the embodiment of that love, that word, then I give myself to him. Because you know what Christmas really is? It's an invitation. It's an invitation to enter into the eternal love and life of God. It has always been there, but now he wants to share it with you. He came to earth in the form of a son. He came to earth in the form of a word. The truth is Jesus, the Word. And when you start to understand that, there actually really are no words to describe what it means to have the Word, be the Word for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to look in your Word. And I thank you for this time of year. And I pray that you would guide the rest of our service. I thank you for what has transpired already. And as we continue to worship,
We just continue to give you the glory and the praise, Father. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. Amen.